Praise the Lord, family, and welcome to another Gift of Life show. I am so excited that you are joining us. Hey, you know, it was God that drew us all together today for such a time as this. I'm continuing my series on the prodigal child or the prodigal son. This is number 4. So if you missed any of my series, just go back to www.lovebyexample.com, click on the Gift of Life show, and all the archives are there. God bless you. We're going to get right on into it, but let me start with a few verses here. Romans 2, 4. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Then here's another one. I love this one. This is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, talking about the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, verse 25, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth. And I read this in the last series, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snares of the devil, having been taken captive to do his will. And one more right here in John 6, 44. I'll read from the English, easy English. The Father has sent me. No one can come to me unless the Father brings them to me. And I will raise that person up on the last day so that they will live with me always. King James Version says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last days. I just wanted to read those and open up with that, because I'm hoping that as we move on into this story about the parable of the prodigal, that we'll get a deeper understanding of God's drawing love. Now, let me start with Luke 15, and I'll start with 17, and I'm going to read all the way down to the end of 24, okay? And we'll cover this briefly. But again, just go back, listen to the other series, catch up with this, or just read it yourself and just enjoy the blessings that this parable brings. Now, like I said earlier, that this parable, my goodness, this parable right here stands out among all the other parables. It really does. And I love this because in Mark 4, 13, Jesus said that if we understood the parable of the sower and the seeds, that we'd understand, have an understanding of the other parables and how they relate to us. And so, I guess just saying that, you can always listen to my sower and seed parables, but just see me pouring out seeds, casting out seeds of life to you right now. As you're listening to me, the sound of my voice, see beyond and hear beyond me and hear the word of the Lord. And let these seeds take root deep into your spirit. Okay, so you can get understanding. Proverbs 25, praise the Lord. And this parable of the prodigal son, it's not a warm and fuzzy, good-feeling kind of a parable. It really isn't. Oh, it's great. It's loaded with emotions. It's loaded with shock. It's loaded with victory and sadness and filled with tons of different ways of thinking, because there's a lot of different characters in here. But it's not a feel-good message. It's really a powerful wake-up call. It's a warning, and it has very, very serious consequences of the choices that people make. So I hope you understand this parable. And if you haven't studied it in a while, go back and read it. I am getting so blessed just by doing these shows with you, and I thank you. I also want to thank you for listening. I want to just talk about the word parable. I mentioned that earlier in some of my broadcasts, but the word prodigal means reckless, wasteful. It means extravagance. It means excess. It's just basically being a spendthrift. You're just spending, and you're not thinking about the consequences of what you're doing until you get to a sad ruin like this particular son did. So let me just read, based off of that, let me read these few verses, and I'll come back and we'll comment on it. In verse 17 of Luke 15, but when he came to himself, now we talked about in the last series, or the last episode, came to his senses, okay, he started thinking and understanding something here, and things weren't quite adding up the way he thought they would, but he said to himself, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? 18, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, And verse 19, and I am no longer to be worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants. And he arose. Look at that. He arose. My goodness, my goodness. He arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. 22. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. 23. And bring the fatted cow here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. 24. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Now, that's not the end of this story, but we're going to stop there. I just want you to see the progression here now, to really understand this progression of God's love being poured out on this son through this story. This prodigal was satisfied to return home as a slave, but to his surprise and delight, he was restored back into full rights of being his father's son. His position had changed when he repented. Isn't that beautiful? He had a transformed mind. The position of destitute, complete debauchery with the pig's pen, in the pig's pen, he had complete restoration. His whole complete life had been transformed because he repented and changed his mind about what he was doing. He had second thoughts about what he had done to his family and his father. And that is what God's grace does for anybody that repents and changes the way they think about their lives and about God. Oh my gosh, this is so beautiful, such a beautiful picture of repentance, or excuse me, of salvation. Because salvation has got three major elements. You know, we're created as spirit, soul, and a body. And our soul is the part where we think and have emotions and we make choices. And then our brain and our body follow what our soul tells us to do, but we get our information from our spirit, which is either coming from Satan or from God, and we get to choose. Okay? So in this case, this son chose the right choice. He started thinking in his mind. See, it says it right there. He says, oh, I come to myself. And he starts thinking, how many of my father's servants have more than enough to eat? And here I'm the son, and look at me, I'm eating in the pig's pen. And so he starts thinking about that. And then he starts feeling sad about this. He starts feeling sad of the choices that he made. And he says, I will arise and I will go. And he makes a choice and he decides to go back to his father's house. You see that progression? He thinks, and then he has emotions, and then he makes a choice. And this is another thing that's very important, believers. You must understand that every thought that we think has attaching emotions. Scientists have proven that. God has allowed us to see that. So you don't want to just go by your emotions. You want to make sure you're understanding why you're feeling positively sad or depressed, or why you're feeling happy and glad. It's because your thoughts. Who have you chosen to think on? And I've talked about that. Your thoughts are very important. And this is what the word repentance means. The son repented. Now, the way that, that's why I read those opening verses, because they talked about repentance. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. And this word repentance, the way I see it and what I've learned, is that it's re is a prefix. And the prefix is something that put next to a word that changes the meaning. So re means to turn around. That means to go in another direction. Pent means to come up higher. So since we know everything begins and ends with a thought, what God is telling us, all of us who need to be born again, or those who are born again, you got to keep repenting, is to turn away the way you're thinking. Because everything you do has to first start with the thought. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's what the scriptures say right here in Proverbs. And whatever you think the most on is going to grow. Okay? And right here, let me find it right here. Here's one. Let me read this one here. Proverbs 23:7. It says right here, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And then look at Proverbs 27. I love this one. Proverbs 27:19. It says right here, Okay, let me find it. There it is. Proverbs 27, 19. Yeah, let me find it. I had it here. 27, 19. It says, as in water face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man. You see that? So basically, whatever your life looks like, you have to go back. If you're not satisfied with it, you have the power that God's given you to change it, to repent. And there's only two ways you can go, God's way or your way. And our way, our human way, is always wrong. God's way is right. Look what it says. And you got to get convinced of that. Until you're convinced of that, you're not going to change or repent. This prodigal son was convinced that he made a major mistake and a major choice and a humiliating choice that put him in a humiliating place. And he was going to walk by faith, change the way he thinks, and walk by faith and see if his father would accept him. And it says here in Proverbs, I love this, in Proverbs chapter 16, 23, and it's also in 14, 17, there is a way that seems right to man, but it ends in the way of death. And that goes so well with Romans 8, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It talks about the carnal mind leads to death, but the spiritual-minded person that lives according to the Spirit, it leads to life and peace. So if you're lacking life and peace in your life, and you don't have the sense of peace and calm and confidence that you're walking the way God wants you to live, and you're walking, going in the direction He's called you, and you're not confused, double-minded, bipolar, or whatever, and having to dope yourself up with a bunch of pills just to make it through a day, if that is you, then you are not depending on what God's Word says and how much He loves you. And this is what the Lord wants us to see in the story, the love of the Father. But the consequences of rejecting this love. But in this case, the father then orders the servants to bring a robe. He said, bring a robe, and he says, and put a robe around him. Now, this is a picture of God's righteousness being around his beloved that repents, that changes their mind. Bring a ring, and this is talking about the authority that he's going to give this son back, his authority that he left and walked away with. But coming back, he says, give him sandals on his feet. Now, in those days, the slaves and servants didn't wear shoes. But the sons and the daughters, they wore shoes of the fathers. And then bring the fatted cow. And he says, we're going to be merry and eat, for my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now he is found. And they begin to be merry. They begin to have a party. The father welcomes back the son without any guilt tripping, without reminding him of all the horrible things that he did. He was just so excited and waiting for his son to come home. And he came home because the son repented and changed his mind. And this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to change our mind. Even after we've been born again, we have to keep on renewing our mind so that we can start thinking more like Christ and repent and confess our sins to the Lord. And with a godly feeling, a godly sorrow that we were, you know, in the wrong, but we're admitting and confessing and repenting, that leads to holiness, or leads more into our salvation, or more into our position of who we are in Christ. And that's 2 Corinthians 7:10. Now, I thought about this. I said, what if the son came back home, but he wasn't repenting? He came back the same way he left, arrogant, prideful, not caring about anybody but himself. It was just me, myself, and I. Gimme, gimme, gimme. But because he ended up losing everything, wasting everything, living a prodigal life, he decided, I'll go back home. But when he came back home, he strutted down the road all prideful, and his dad's like happy to see me. He goes, get out of the way, Dad. I'm back home. Give me back everything that, you know. Do you think the father would have accepted the son with that attitude? I don't think so. Because I'm learning this more and more. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. The only way you can come to God, the only way you can be right with God, the only way you can be accepted with God, you got to come God's terms. And his terms is humble. Come hungry and humble. That's Matthew 5. Think about Adam and Cain. They weren't humble. Adam, After he did wrong, instead of admitting it in the garden, he blames. He plays a blame game. Blames God, then blames Eve. And then he says, I heard your voice, but I hid myself. I was afraid. I was naked. So, you know, bottom line, that's why I'm where I'm at. Because God said, where are you? And then his son Cain, when God was talking to Cain, saying, why are you so angry? Why are you thinking these thoughts? Why is it even showing your face? What's going on? He says, don't you know if you did right, if you thought right, which is doing what I say to do, I'll accept you. Everything will be okay. But if you choose the other door, which is sin, it desires to control you and to destroy you. And that's what happened. He chose to believe the liar and sin, and he was cursed. And God tells us in Deuteronomy 30:19, I say this all the time, I love it. I've given you death and life, blessings and cursing. Choose life so you and your family can live. So here in this story, as we continue to proceed in this story, we see the prodigal son that went away, but he comes back with a repentant heart, with a changed attitude. He's turning away from his sin. He is forsaking all what he was doing, and he's coming back with a sorrowful heart. He had second thoughts, a whole new mindset of what he had once embraced. He had changed his mind and said, Father, I am not even worthy to be your servant. But the Father welcomed him in and gave him back the very position that he had forsaken. That is such a beautiful picture of the salvation of the Lord. Oh my gosh, I just thank God for that. And this party that they had, you know, it just wasn't an ordinary party. Now, this whole story's got a lot of prophetic meaning in it. But this party that he had prepared, it was a party that were, I love this, I have to say this, that it had blood in it. The fatted cow was a picture and a type of the atonement for our sins in Hebrews 9:22. The fatted calf in those days were saved for special occasions such as the Day of Atonement, Leviticus 23:26-32. And this was not just some ordinary party. It was a rare and a complete celebration. Had the boy been dealt with according to the law, see, according to the law now, there would have been a funeral. Not a celebration, remember? And I said in the last episodes that the father had every right to slap that son, backhand that son when he said ask for his inheritance or disown him, but he didn't. Isn't that beautiful? He didn't. So now he returns. He doesn't get the law poured on him, guilt tripping, and he doesn't get rejected. And the Lord treats us the same way with our sins that we have committed against God. He welcomes a repentant person. Now, we deserve the penalty of our sins because it wasn't Jesus that committed sin. He was dying for our sins. But God received us because we have changed the way we think about our sins and about God. So a celebration happens. And as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the love of God, those who really fear him. As far as the east is from the west, he has removed our sins and our transgressions. And as the Father had compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. So instead of condemnation, guilt, and making people feel shameful about their sins, that none of that was seen here in this parable. It was a party and a celebration of forgiveness and mercy. And you know what? I love this parallel because he shows a person without Christ or a person that's lost and not walking in according to how God designed them to be from the very beginning. He said they're like they're dead and they're lost. But when you come to the realization of God's love for you and you receive his substitutionary atonement, oh, hallelujah, that's Jesus, you're like you're alive and you're found. And I just thank God that this is a picture, a beautiful picture of salvation. And this picture is what happens. I love this. When talk about a party. If you look in Luke 15, that same passage, remember we talked about three things that were lost, the sheep and the coin? Well, look in verse 7 of 15. It says, I say, this is talking about the sheep now. He says, I say to you that likewise, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, look at that, who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. See, 99 people can be, hey, I don't need to change my mind. I'm doing cool. I'm great. But you get that one that says, no, I'm changing my mind. I'm repenting. I'm coming up to that high place that God has called me to come up to. And when you come up to that way of thinking by repenting and confessing your sins before the Lord, He grants you repentance. God is the one that draws us. That's what I read in John 6:44. God gives us the ability to repent, to have faith, to believe in Him. Isn't that beautiful? I just love that. So, brothers, that's why I opened up the show and said, hey, God drew us here to come together. As you listen to me and as I talk to you, the words of God, the seeds of life, God is calling you to turn away whatever it is that you need to turn away from. We call it waxing off and waxing on. Whatever toxic thoughts that you need to cast down or memories from the past that the enemy keeps accusing you of or keeps causing you to be fearful to go forward because you think what happened yesterday is going to happen tomorrow, so you're stuck in today. Whatever those thoughts are that keeps you from discovering and experiencing the love of God, God is calling you to turn away from that. To turn away from those thoughts, because all that stuff that's holding many people down, like Lot's wife, remember Luke 17? He said, to remember Lot's wife? You know, you keep looking back, but it freezes you, and you just become like this pillar of salt, and you just can't go anywhere. You're stuck. God is calling you to change that. If you're a born-again believer, you need to discover your new position as a child of God. You need to understand the resurrection power that He has given you. You need to understand your spiritual gifts and that power, and then you need to perform. You need to act. This son did something. He didn't just say, I'm going to go back. No, he said, I had a plan. I'm going to go back. He's walking by faith. And that's what this is all about. Walking by faith and not by sight. He didn't let his horrible condition stop him from going forward. He says, I'm going back to my father's house. He says, I'm coming home. I'm coming back. He had no idea how his father was going to react. He was desperate. He realized he'd messed up. He was sad about it, and he made a decision. And that's what people need to do. I believe believers need to walk by faith and not by sight. Faith in who God says they are as believers. And those that don't believe, you need to recognize. Because we haven't finished the story. There's another son that we're going to look at that had a total different response. And the total consequences are just like night and day. So that's why I say it's a warning on both occasions, but the love of God remains the same for those who reject Him and for those who accept Him. But it is our choice. It says right here, I love this, it says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, for it is written, the just shall live by faith. And I qualify that faith in who God says Jesus Christ is for you. Jesus is the only way to God, the only acceptable way. Even in the garden, if you look in Genesis 3, where it talked about that the serpent would bruise Jesus' heel. That was a prophetic word right there. He says, but Jesus, the seed of the woman, is going to crush your head. Satan and sin have been defeated. And for a believer who has entered in this relationship, this covenant with God, if you look at Romans 6, you are alive in Christ Jesus. Now you can walk in newness of life. And this is why I'm excited about our women's conference coming up in April. We are walking by faith. I just know God's called us, give us a need. We see the need, we have the word, and we want to sow these seeds to these women and to the men too. But this is primarily focused on women to help them to experience this healing power to come back to the Father's house no matter what. Don't allow things of the past from sin to slow you down because it has been defeated. You are a brand new creation. Old things have passed away. Isn't that beautiful? Brothers and sisters, if you haven't received my book, order my book, Do You See What I See? You can go online at www.lovebyexample.com. It's an easy read based off of four P's, our position, power, performance, and our presence, and three M's, to meditate, memorize, and mouth the Word of God. So we're constantly repenting. We're constantly detoxing and renewing our mind so we can stay in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father. Isn't that beautiful? I just thank God for this story. I love this story. I'm learning more about it. You might want to keep on reading it. We're not done. I think I got about three more episodes on this, because now we're getting ready to enter in the other son who comes up on the scene here. But right now, I just want you to focus on the acceptance of the love of God and what he has for you and how much he cares for you. I'm just amazed at this father's love, because it's showing me how much he loves me. He loves me with the everlasting love, and he changed me and created me a brand new person so I can love him back, and I can walk in the power and the giftings and share with you. So share this show. If you believe this is going to touch somebody, you know, a parent or a child relationship, share this and pass this good news on. Hey, I got to go. I have a song for you. It's called Coming Home. Come back to the Father's house. He loves you, and I love you, and I thank you for listening. God bless you.
I'm not gonna water it down. I've lost my way.
I've lost my way.
Keeping a hectic schedule, letting everything else get in the way of me and you. Coming back to you.